Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Is that you?
That's me.
That's you. Okay. So that is from the Shamrock, which is the resident Buffalo Bills bar.
St. Louis here, Bills Mafia.
It's here in St. Louis City. How many people were there? 150?
140-ish.
How are there 140 Buffalo Bills fans in St. Louis?
There's more than that. There
well, I know that's not all of them, but right. I mean, how are there 140 in St. Louis who are willing to go out on a Sunday night? How's
we're
that even
everywhere.
Possible?
Everywhere. Bills Mafia is literally everywhere in this country and world. I mean, there. I had.
Okay,
I saw
what about
on
5 years ago?
I saw on Instagram one from, they had 150 people at the London Bills Mafia bar last week.
What?
So
what?
It's just, we're everywhere.
Scott Jagow from the KMOX.
Nobody's
newsroom.
Left in Buffalo. They're all gone.
Reporter, so. Anchor, host here is with us on KMOX, and he is the Buffalo Bills fan. Here at the station, they have a huge game this weekend, which you can hear on KMOX. It is the AFC Championship game against the Kansas City Chiefs. As soon as we're done with you, we're going to talk to Danan Hughes, who is the radio analyst for Chiefs football. But let's talk about this one, Scott. That atmosphere at the Shamrock, I've gone by. I went by last Saturday or last Sunday. I've been by before a time or two. Y'all are nuts.
In a good
you're,
way.
You're crazy people. Your Bills people
are
crazy.
Do you, well, this that's what happens when you follow a team your entire life and you're over 50 years old and you haven't won a Super Bowl. That's what happens to you.
Yeah.
It just eats away.
Yeah, I'm
at
sure.
Your sanity.
When did the Buffalo Bills become the Buffalo Bills?
1960. So my dad has been following them since then. He's over 80 years old.
Because I was going to say, you know, the Blues had something similar. They were in the 60s, had never won a cup. Then they won it in 2019. But this is longer than that.
Yeah. Yeah, it is longer than that.
Yeah. We used to say.
Well aware.
We used to say.
It has definitely taken at least 12 to 14 years off my life already watching this team.
Well, when you do
lose
die.
Close games and, you know. Things like what happened in Nashville. I don't call it the Music City Miracle because I think it was a forward pass. But, I mean, there's all these games that just take years off your life.
So when you do die, you'll have the Bills lower you into your grave so that way they can let you down
let
one last
this.
Time.
Very good.
Scott,
did
you just...
You
didn't
no, no, no.
Up. Scott, let's talk about when you are dead. When you have...
That's
when
great.
When the casket is there, assuming it's an open casket thing, like there's not something terrible that happens to you. Okay. How much Bill? How much
can't reconstruct?
How much?
You.
Yeah, they can't reconstruct you. How much Bill's stuff do you think will go in the casket with you?
Oh my gosh, you can't even. So I'm thinking of the inventory right now. So I have I take two footballs to the game. One of them is deflated, and I haven't inflated it in about 5 years.
Like your spirit.
Is that the ball that you get? Yeah. Wait, so you... Amy.
Another good one. I gotta hand it to you.
Don't listen to Amy. We're having a conversation right now. Don't listen to Amy. She just wants to ruin your day.
So I have relatives, especially my mom, who keeps giving me Bill stuff. Yeah. I mean, for years and years, my aunt used to do it. Other relatives, and so I have in my closet like 17 Bills blankets.
Wow!
Oh,
I can't even fit them all in there. And then I've got the footballs, which are so the blankets will have to be in the casket. The footballs will have to be there.
It's wrapped in the blankets
because there's nowhere else to put it.
Jerseys will have to be in there too. I got jerseys of players who haven't played for 25 years.
Why don't you give some of those things away?
I don't know
like
how to do
that. Like the Bills do.
You don't know how to, you don't know how to like give things away.
What are you talking
are
about?
Are you like, okay, so
are
if you
were,
if you didn't.
I am a Bills hoarder.
My grandfather, when the Bears were good in the 80s, you know, we'd go to his house. And we did it once or twice, and then we were like, never again. Because we'd go to the house, it'd be game day, and he would have Bears stuff all over the living room. Like, he would put a jersey on the chair that you couldn't sit in because the jersey was in the chair. And he had, the stuffed bear, a teddy bear with the bear's jersey on it. Yeah. And we were like, okay. And then he would yell at the TV and we'd have to go home.
Well, that sounds familiar.
Is that you? If you didn't have the Shamrock, mm-hmm. is that what you'd be doing on Sunday?
Yeah, that's what I did for a long time. I would sit with my stuff.
Yeah, what a dumb question, Ross.
You'd sit with your idiot. You would get.
My dad is way worse. He hasn't gotten. I've have some sense of peace and calm. I still get really worked up, but not the way I used to. My dad still gets really worked up. He will quit in the middle of the second quarter.
Yeah.
And just leave the room and never come back.
Can you watch a game with him, or did he drive everyone away? Because I've known people like that.
I can't watch
like
a
that.
Game with him anymore. Yeah. It's too negative. I can't stand the negative. Yeah. So at the beginning of every season, my entire life, it was like, all right, I think the Bills are going to be better this year. And then my dad just pouring negativity all over it before the season even started.
Yeah.
And so eventually I just said, I don't think I can talk about this with you anymore.
Yeah.
I still occasionally do, but yeah. I just, very briefly.
So, wait a minute.
That's such a funny thing that happens
in sports. How do you feel, then, about someone like Ronge, a Chicago Bears fan who's constantly feeling sorry for himself and is constantly bitter and sad and angry? Is it worse because at least the Bills are competitive, or is it better because the Bears have won a Super Bowl before.
That's true.
Yeah, and
which is worse?
I was like seven.
Right.
Yeah, but you were alive. This guy, his whole life, he's been let down.
Yeah, four Super Bowls in a row.
So
we
which
lost.
Is worse?
You mean
being a competitive loser,
or just a loser?
Just a loser.
I have been both. A loser with a ring or two. We didn't make the playoffs for 17 years in a row, so I was in the just loser category. Now. We have one of the greatest quarterbacks, and so we are amazing right now.
Yeah.
So I don't know. The answer is I would much rather be competitive.
Yeah.
And have 140 people at the Shamrock and having a great time than go home and on December 29th after a 3-13 season. Oh, what would
Ron
the Bears
wants them to build the new stadium
this year?
In the lake.
Well, yeah, I want them to build the new stadium underwater. Actually, I don't. They hired a coach I think is the right guy. I don't know for sure, but I think Ben Johnson is the right guy.
Not the 16th century playwright. In case
and not
you were
the
wondering.
Not the Memphis Cardinals
manager.
No, that's
a good hire. I think he's going to do well. He'll be a great fit for Caleb Williams. But I did want to say that the Bills are also building a new stadium right next to the old one, and it'll open in 26. And it gives you hope that the team will be here for a long time, because in 2015, Bon Jovi and Donald Trump tried to buy the Buffalo Bills.
What?
They got outbid. Can you imagine? And they were going to move them to Toronto.
Wait, Bon Jovi and Donald Trump together?
Yes.
Were going to buy
2015?
The Bills?
Yes.
And move them to Toronto?
Yes. All of those things are
Why
true.
Why do I not remember this?
This is an amazing story.
Yeah. Terry Pegula, the oil billionaire, who's from Buffalo, stepped in and had a higher bid, and the NFL said, you're the buyer. And he saved Buffalo.
Wow.
He also bought the Sabres, who haven't been to the playoffs since he bought them. And so that's the team in Buffalo that's just miserable.
Yeah, but who cares?
Yeah. I mean,
you got the
we
Bills.
Didn't have the Bills. If the Bills were bad and the Sabres were bad, I mean, my sports life would be unbearable.
I do wish that football, just the nature of the sport, you can't play like every couple of days. You just can't. Physically, it's not possible. But I love the sport so much, and it's so much fun to watch, that I wish it was possible to have as many football games as there were baseball games a week. You can't do it because players would die, but it would be great. Because it's almost sad when game day is over, because you build up so much for it. You spend the 3 hours, 15, 3.5 hours watching, and then it's over, and it's like, well, damn, I got to wait another 6 days.
Yeah, there's nothing like it, though.
Yeah.
I love football, and I this rivalry, which actually, maybe that's not the right word, because the Chiefs have beaten us 3 times in the playoffs, and so that doesn't really make much of a rivalry. We've won a lot of the regular season games, but we haven't won in the playoffs. So this is a huge game, because it's the fourth one, and historically, I don't think there's been two teams with the same quarterback that have lost, one of them's lost four playoff games to the same guy.
There are a lot of people who feel like this one's different than the last several. How are you feeling?
I mean, to
be rational. Quit being the irrational you.
and you got to tell us if you felt the other ones were different too.
No, I did not necessarily think they were different, but this one does feel somewhat different because I think it's mainly because of our coach. He has had a different philosophy and attitude this year, and Josh Allen has balled out in every single one of the playoff games against the Chiefs. He has played out of his mind, but our coach twice has foiled him. So this year, our coach has been much better, and I'm hoping he can do it one more time to get us to the Super Bowl for the first time in 32 years.
Look, if they got the lead with like 15, 17 seconds, I believe in it. I believe in them. This time they're going to hold, Scott.
Wow.
Okay. Well, good luck to you Sunday.
I don't think I want to
go by there.
He said it's too much.
This weekend's too much.
Yeah.
I would be afraid. If it started to look bad third quarter, I would slip out. Not say a word.
You would be afraid of the mass suicide that would take place.
This is in Jonestown. It's not that big of a deal. You'll be back next.
It's called
next year.
Hyperbole.
This isn't Jonestown. Chris.
Well, actually, yes. I forgot to tell you that the Shamrock is providing us with cyanide tablets.
Oh,
okay. No, Scott. No, Scott.
Say that. They're not.
No, they're not doing that.
Just in case.
Oh. No, Scott. It's only football. It's only football. Football is everything.
Right. It is only football.
So, good luck to you. So I know you got to chat with Stu Mack this weekend on Sunday.
Yeah, three good things.
Three good things.
St. Louis. Right. Sunday morning, 6:30 to 9:30. It's a great stretch of radio.
When you're here in the morning on Sunday, try to concentrate on your job.
Try to focus.
You're going to be really hard
on
Sunday.
How much are you going to not care about the home and garden hotline?
I always care about the garden hotline.
Dude,
I'm sorry.
He's going to be taking garden hotline calls thinking about Josh Allen.
Tulips.
Like, I don't care.
You think I care about tulips?
I don't.
Josh Allen has got to play out of his mind today.
Oh, your frozen floorboards? You think I care about that right now? Whatever.
I'm going to come up with some way to infuse the Bills into the conversation about gardening somehow.
Yes,
good luck.
You should. Every
I'm going to think about it.
Every answer has to have a Bills reference.
Scott Jagow hosting Sunday morning here on KMOX. Listen to him and wish him the best of luck.
Good luck.
Let's go Buffalo.
Well, and now we're about to say let's go Chiefs because Danan Hughes on the Chiefs broadcast joins us next on KMOX.
One, go! Welcome to the Red Kingdom!
Yeah!
Red Kingdom!
On Sunday, it is the AFC Championship game. Actually, both championship games, NFC and AFC. We will be carrying the AFC Championship this weekend between the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs. And joining us now is Danan Hughes, former receiver for the Chiefs and also the Chiefs radio analyst. You've heard him throughout the regular season here on KMOX, and Danan is with us now. How's it going, Mr. Hughes?
Let's go! Hit somebody in the mouth!
You're a receiver. You can't punch anybody in the mouth.
Are you guys ready for this weekend, the clash of the Titans, Josh Allen trying to come in here and steal history? Are you guys ready over there in St. Louis?
Oh, we're ready, and you are never going to believe what Chris Ronji did last week, Danan. He went to a Bills bar.
Did he hit somebody in the mouth?
No!
Well, no.
He went to a Bills bar, Danan.
I went to the Bills bar in St. Louis.
And he was cheering for the Bills.
Uh-oh. I think we lost Danan.
This is why. This is why we can't get anywhere as a people. I don't think I've been any more disappointed in my life.
I refuse to go.
I would never do
commercial?
That.
Amy, can we go to a commercial break?
Amy
right
doesn't
now?
Know what she's talking about. I did go to the Bills bar. I did not root for anybody.
Then why did you jump on the table?
No, but I did watch people at the Bills.
Oh, you broke a table too?
I did not.
What in the world?
Right, Danan?
No.
I can punch him in the face if you want.
Damn. Look, I watched.
Not in the face.
The mouth.
Not in the face, Amy. Hit him in the mouth.
The mouth.
Danan, I watched Buffalo Bills fans during halftime jump onto the card table. They would break it, and then somebody else would get up there. They'd fix the table. They'd break it again. It just was like a line for an amusement park ride. That's what they did.
So what he's saying is the Chiefs have got this one.
I did not say that. I don't know what's going to happen. Danon, what do you think is going to happen this weekend?
The Chiefs are going to win. That's what I'm thinking. I mean, heck, can we rewind back to that question? Can we edit this tape? Amy, can you ask that question again?
Wait, Ron's question, yes. Danon, what do you think is going to happen this weekend?
We're going to win.
That's right.
Was that hard?
It was not.
It was not that hard.
No.
Chiefs are going to win this game. We have goals to set history, not to break streaks, not to, you know, the Bills haven't been back to the Super Bowl since the 90s when they went four straight times and lost all four times. They beat us my rookie year. Hold on, let me go get my violin and play this while I'm saying all this. Nobody wants that. Like, we want history. The Chiefs Kingdom has been seeking history since last February. We stood on the podium in Vegas. Patrick Mahomes is mic'd up. He tells Chris Jones, you're not going anywhere as a free agent. We're going to run this back. Nobody's ever done it. And now we are on the cusp. We're on the cusp of history. And for everyone in St. Louis, that they better be cheering and rooting for the Chiefs. Break the tables after the game if you want, but it's got to be about the Chiefs all day Sunday. I'm ready to go, baby! Let's do this!
You've got a couple of days here. You got to keep this energy up.
Yeah.
You going to be able to?
I got some Tums and some Pepto-Bismol next to me.
I'm so glad you brought that up. I actually, thinking about the game and thinking about what you said, trying to make history, right? We all know what that means, what that would mean to make history. I kind of feel like throwing up a few times. Like, you know, I feel it in my stomach that... Like I'm excited, but I also feel like throwing up a little. Well, is that how you feel then?
Well, let me expand that question.
Yes.
Because as a player, your feelings of nervousness, I would imagine, are different.
Don't make me go to that mindset right now.
Well, you're gonna have to. What? You're gonna
don't
have
make
to right
go
now.
To the play-
we need you.
Oh gosh,
we need you.
Need
so
you,
I feel like the Hulk. Don't make me angry. You remember the old Hulk show?
Yeah.
You don't like me when I'm angry?
Well, of course not.
Okay.
Of course, but you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to do it. You're going to put yourself in this place. So the difference between being having that nervous feeling as a player versus being a broadcaster up in the booth when you can't really do anything about anything because you're just, you know, you're observing the game like the rest of us. How is it different? How is it different to be a player versus being somebody who's watching the game?
Yeah, that's the biggest drawback to not being a player is that you have no physical capabilities of making noise. You have no physical capability to impact the game. All you can do is just sit and cheer, or I'm working, so I got to be professional on air, and it's difficult. And there have been times in the booth, Mitch Holtis will tell you, Dan Israel will tell you, where like it's like a light switch where I go in and out of darkness every once in a while in the booth. And that hadn't bode well for those guys that were within arm's distance of me because I can get a little pushy. I can throw a little forearm here or there. And then I have to like bring myself back out of it and realize I'm in the booth. But when I was a player, like, I felt like a caged animal. Like, a lot of times, like, I felt like you got the pregame speeches. I was never a guy that really bought into pregame speeches. Like, I was already on tilt before we, like, warm-ups. Like, I didn't need – I love Marty Schottenheimer. I loved Hayden Fry. I love the coaches that I had throughout my life. But, like – I was like, I didn't need anything. I didn't need anybody else to talk to me. I didn't need a tap on my shoulder. I didn't need somebody to smack me in my helmet. I didn't need some great Newt Rockne pregame speech. Like, I just felt like somebody hurry up and like somebody grab the clock and spin the minutes ahead so I can get out of this cage and let's go. They said something about my mama. They kicked my dog. They spit on me. They did everything that I hated, and now I got to go make them pay. That's literally the mindset that I had every single game. I even fabricated stuff.
You're like Michael Jordan.
Feel like I hated them.
Oh, man. Uh-huh.
You were like Michael Jordan, just invent. And you played at the exact same time he was playing. So he was inventing things that people said about him to get pissed so he could go out and beat them.
Oh, yeah. Looks. You looked at me. You looked me up and down wrong. You disrespected me. You pushed me a little bit harder. Maybe you played after the whistle a little bit. And now, like, it's a vengeance for the rest of the game. And then after the game, like, I'll pull up in the parking lot by the buses, have some beers with the other team. Like, after the game, that was fine. But during the game, it was war. And this is going to be a big-time war. Like, it's a battle. Like I said, the Clash of the Titans. Josh Allen likely will be the MVP. I think there's some people that still think Lamar Jackson will be. I think Lamar Jackson definitely deserves it, but I feel like with Josh Allen beating him, even though it's supposed to be a regular season award, beating him, knocking him out of the playoffs, outplaying him in that game, I feel like he's probably going to get the nod for MVP. And now you have Patrick Mahomes going for history. You know, this is like John Elway. I think Josh Allen is kind of a John Elway prototype. He can make every throw on the field. He can run. He loves to have the ball in his hands to make the decisions. And, like, what more could you ask for? A script after going up to Western New York last year and beating them in a divisional round and them beating us again in the regular season. The matchup is 5-5 between these two teams in the last 10 instances. And Patrick Mahomes' success in the – like this is a script. This is like an Oscar-worthy script. So, yeah, I'm amped up, and I'm hoping the whole Chiefs kingdom is amped up and not jumping through tables.
Well, Danan, I'll make this promise to you. I will not – whatever happens this weekend, I will not be jumping into any tables and trying to break them. I promise you.
Yeah, don't go to that Bills bar.
Yeah, come on.
Go get some like toasted ravioli and like what you guys have that over there, the Italian food. Go up on the hill.
Yeah, all right.
Get some Italian food. I'm a Jersey guy, so you know I love the Italian food. So get some, you know, ravioli, some chicken parm or something, and sit down, relax, cheer on the game. Get a nice cab.
Right.
Have a nice little wine there. You know.
Okay.
Pull yourself together is what he's saying,
all right, all right, I'll
Ron.
Pull myself together.
Pull yourself together before somebody hits you in the mouth.
Thank you, Danan.
Have a great weekend.
Danan Hughes, Chiefs radio analyst. All season long, you've been hearing him on KMOX. He's the best, dude. We do have the AFC Championship game on this weekend. You'll be able to hear it here on KMOX. It's Chris and Amy. Mike Claiborne is next.
Now, holding court with Claves, with Chris and Amy on KMOX.
Well, there's lots of ice on the ground still, but that does not mean we can't talk Cardinals baseball and Cardinals baseball adjacent things, and we are going to do that for sure here in the next few moments as we've got Mike Claiborne, part of the Cardinals broadcast team. You can listen to Cards Ball here on KMOX throughout the 2025 season, and also on the Odyssey app. If you download the Odyssey app, you can listen to it, and we want you to. Totally free, by the way. Catch our show live, catch the podcasts. It's all right there for you. So Claves is with us on the guest line. How's it going, sir?
I'm doing well. An interesting week. We had the winter warm-up, and that was a lot of fun to see a lot of people in St. Louis for that. Chip Carey and I decided to drive to Florida as we're going to go on the Cardinal cruise tomorrow. Wow. First time we ever saw snow that far south. I think we were like right near the Florida-Georgia line, and ran into a whiteout.
And, really?
It was crazy. And here's the most interesting thing about it. We saw this accident because literally there was very little snow removal, and it was sticking. And so we saw this accident, and I said, man, that looks like they're going to be there for a while. Friend of mine was heading to Atlanta. It was on 10 going the other way. He sat there for 7.5 hours.
Oh,
woof.
That's brutal.
They're not
brutal.
Prepared for it down there because they don't ever have it.
Nope. Nope. You're right. And so it was an interesting time, but we're here.
Wow.
We're ready to go, and we're going to hang out with some Cardinal alums on the cruise and get ourselves one step closer to spring training.
So when you said you and Chip Carey decided to drive to Florida, was this a last-minute decision? Do you usually drive?
No,
do you usually fly?
No, we talked about it. We did it last year, okay. And we had a good time doing it. So we said, hey, let's do it again.
Nice.
And our good buddy, my good buddy from Munganass, Jamie Burkhart from Alton, Illinois, Munganass in Alton, gave us a vehicle, and we were good to go.
So you are down in Florida right now.
Yes.
You're not going to stay there until spring training. That doesn't get going until the 12th. February 12th is when.
Oh, you're,
so you're
going to be here.
You're just there straight until.
Here.
Oh, good for you. So you're there until February 12th when pitchers and catchers report. That, Klaibs, that ain't too far off.
It's not. And you know what? I was over the complex yesterday, and there are a few players already here. One of the neat things, there are a lot of Cardinals, younger players who purchase homes in the area. So they're over there 4 days a week minimum doing something. And so it's a good sign to see that, you know, and I'm sure there are other guys in other cities that are doing the same thing. But knowing what's in front of them this year, I think it's a good indication of their commitment.
So after a winter warm-up, you know, that's sort of the event that gets people excited about the upcoming season, about spring training, which is then just around the corner. Now that we're getting to that point, and, you know, the team could still conceivably look a little bit different between now and the report dates. There could be a move that happens. Everybody's been waiting on the Nolan Arenado thing. So how are you feeling about this team right now?
You know, I'm optimistically feeling good about it. And here's why. As I know, people use, I call it the era of the rebuild, reset, reload, relaunch, you name it. This isn't like we're going to bring up a bunch of kids from Memphis who've never seen the big leagues and try and go out and win some baseball games. A lot of guys on this team have at least a year's worth of experience that we're going to be counting on. You know, you think about Brendan Donovan and Alec Burleson and Mason Wynn and Jordan Walker, Nolan Gorman. All those guys have had experience. Ivan Herrera, you know, I mean, they've all had experience. Michael Ciani's got a year under his belt. So it's not like they don't know what's expected of them. I think because of the fact they're going to play every day, most of them, we're going to find out who they are and what they can do and how they can contribute. And at that point, you can assess what you need in the future, be it free agency, be it trade, and really be able to build a true nucleus for a few years from now.
All right, Klaibs, I know that people look at this season and there may not be as much excitement as there usually is just based on the last couple of years prior because they have been so disappointing. Other than the things you are talking about, you know, just looking at the landscape of the division and of the National League, can you find reasons, legitimate reasons, that fans should feel at least a healthy bit of skepticism? Or not skepticism.
Oh, yeah.
They already have that, but I mean optimism.
There's a few reasons. And I think one of the things that hits fans, you know, this is the first year we didn't have that recognizable established veteran other than Nolan Arenado, who's still with the ball club. And I think that's going to change here. We'll know one way or the other here soon because once Alec Bregman is signed, I think that's going to decide for a lot of teams on the next step they take, and maybe Nolan Arenado will be part of that. So I think we have to wait on Bregman to sign, and if he signs, it sounds like he and Houston are talking again. So if he goes back to Houston, then that means, you know, some other teams are going to be looking around for a third baseman, and maybe Nolan Arenado fits the bill. So, but other than that, when you look at the division, and you say, well, you know, Milwaukee went wire to wire last year. I don't know anyone who picked Milwaukee to go wire to wire. So, and then they lose their best closer, and they lose their best player in Adamas on the field. So how good are they going to be? Chicago Cubs, you know, they've gone out and done a few things over the course of time, but, you know, I'll remind everybody they're the Cubs, and they still need a little help. Pittsburgh Pirates are a couple of players short as far as guys who are going to be on the winning side. That doesn't mean they can't get hot because they do have some talent. And then you throw in the Cincinnati Reds, who have a World Series champion manager, and he's got talent to work with, and they could be a team you might want to pay attention to. And then here are the Cardinals. The Cardinals have a lot of pitching. We don't know how good it is, but they have a lot of it. They've got a premier closer in the bullpen. They have some young players that are ready to break through. So I put the Cardinals in that basket of why not them, because of the division itself. Now, things can change, but I haven't seen anybody make such an improvement to say, uh-oh, it's over. It's not like if you're in the Western Division where the Dodgers are and you say to yourself, we have no chance.
Klaibs, this week, Ichiro, CC Sabathia, Billy Wagner are those who were voted into the Hall of Fame. We already knew about Dave Parker and Dick Allen going in. Carlos Beltran missed by just a little bit, which a lot of people believe means he will get in next go around. What are your thoughts on the new Hall of Fame class?
Can't argue with any of them. And, you know, as you talk about them, they're the last of what I think is a great era. I mean, CC Sabathia with 251 wins. I don't know anybody else is going to have 251 wins that's currently pitching. Ichiro, what he did was just phenomenal. And he gets, you know, 236 hits in a season. And just think about how effective he was everywhere he went, whether it was with the Yankees or the Marlins and certainly Seattle. And then when you think about Billy Wagner, I mean, he was as automatic as you can get. And he walked away on his terms. I know some would say, well, he didn't have as many innings. Yeah, he could have pitched another couple of years if he wanted to, but he thought it was more important to be with family and things of that nature. And God bless him for that. And you mentioned Andrew Jones and Carlos Beltran. Carlos Beltran may be one of the classiest people ever I've ever encountered. And his 2 years with the Cardinals, where he was an all-star both years, says a lot about him as a player, but his character was outstanding. Now, I know they're going to sting him on the Houston thing, but Carlos Beltran is certainly one of the great switch hitters in the game also. So those two deserve to be in. And then you have that next tier of players that I think may move up a notch. But I was very comfortable with the decisions that the voters made this year, except for the one person who wanted to be different in not voting for Ichiro. I'm trying to figure out what did Ichiro do.
Yeah, it's one of my least favorite things. Yep.
Yeah.
Klaibs, I know we've only got a few seconds left, but before you go, what are you anticipating from this Bills-Chiefs game on Sunday evening?
Ooh, scuffle. You know, I have to go with the home team. You know, the Bills have been a bridesmaid before within their organization, going to four Super Bowls and coming up short. You know, Kansas City has dodged multiple bullets this year. I just think that these teams are so familiar with each other. I'm going to take the Chiefs by hair because they're at home. But don't bank on me, because remember, I took Texas over Ohio State, I believe, in the championship semifinal. So, you know, it is what it is. But I think we're going to have a good game.
Klaibs, let's do it again next week.
I'll be at sea, but I can't wait to hear from you.
Yes. We love it. Thank
you,
Klaibs.
Have a great week. Take care.
Mike Claiborne, part of the Cardinals broadcast team. Yes, pitchers and catchers report on February 12th to spring training. So we are getting closer and closer to that. We should let you know, Amy and I will be broadcasting live from the Billikens Grill on the SLU campus ahead of the whiteout game that they are having that night. They will play Dayton, so it is a very big game. And Amy and I will be down in the Billikens Grill from 10 until 1. That is January 31st, so it is a week from today. And we hope that you will come by and see us.
Or as I call it, the Grillikin.
I like the Bill Grill. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX. So Banana Ball is coming to Busch Stadium April 4th and 5th. And I mentioned earlier in the week, we had a texter who said they got their notification via email that they can purchase tickets. And so I checked and I put my name in the hat too, You had to pre-register for tickets for the Savannah Bananas to, you know, to go watch them play. They're coming to Busch Stadium for those two dates. And it's still a lottery system, basically, but I got the email that said, hey, you have the chance now to enter the lottery to buy the tickets. There's going to be, it's not a lottery any longer, but next Wednesday, they're going to give out time slots, random time slots to people who can then purchase tickets to see the Savannah Bananas, the minor league baseball team that's very, very popular. They're doing a major league stadium tour.
Yep.
So they're coming to Busch Stadium. They're going to be at Kauffman Stadium, Angel Stadium, Great American Ballpark, where the Nationals play. They're going to be there too.
And they're even hitting some pro NFL stadiums.
Nissan Stadium.
And college football stadiums.
Where the Tennessee Titans play. They're going to be at Nissan Stadium. Yeah. Citizens Bank Ballpark, Fenway Park, Coors Field, where the White Sox play, that ballpark. They're going to be everywhere, okay? So the Post-Dispatch had a story this morning about the demand for banana ball in St. Louis has so far been greater than every other city that they are visiting. There are 40 cities that they are going to, and the demand here, the entries for tickets, has been higher here in St. Louis than anywhere else.
In the first 72 hours of the lottery for St. Louis, there were more than 160,000 entries for a chance to win tickets.
It's nuts.
Which is not just, that's the number of people interested. That's the number of people interested enough who knew that at this time, immediately, you could put your name in for a lottery because, you know, life gets in the way. You've got kids, you've got practice you're bringing them to, you're working. You may not always be on top of it, of when to get banana ball tickets.
Yeah.
That's insane that so many people were watching it that closely.
St. Louis loves sports so much.
We
were talking about the demand for tickets and the fact the Cardinals really don't have much of an allotment. They were given an allotment to season ticket holders, a very small portion of tickets that season ticket holders could buy. But I was wrong about one thing. You can buy all-inclusives directly from the team. So if you want to be in one of the, you know, like the, not suites necessarily, although maybe those are available, but like the I don't know, like the, anything that you buy that's all-inclusive,
like the like those areas, club seat, yeah,
like not exactly club seats, but you know what I'm talking about.
Because you had said yesterday. You can't buy it through the Cardinals, which
you cannot.
For the most part is true, except for these all-inclusive tickets. How much are those running?
Well, so you can get, and I would say this, a ticket for $125,
okay,
which is all-inclusive, is not bad, and it looks like those are kind of gone right now.
Okay.
There aren't any of those left, but like the Hoffman Brothers Rooftop, the Proficient Red Jacket Club, the UMB Champions Club. So if you've been to any of those before, you know what I'm talking about. You can buy those. I mean, those are expensive. They're expensive. They're all-inclusive tickets. The cheapest one right now is $200 a ticket.
Okay.
But again, think about it. You get free food. Well, not free, but you get unlimited food. There is unlimited alcohol if you want to do that too.
Alcohol.
Yeah, booze. So you can have fun at the old ballpark. But yes, you can buy all-inclusive tickets. But the demand for the regular tickets for the Savannah Bananas games on the 4th and 5th of April, off the charts. $40 to $75 is where the tickets range, which I think is totally reasonable. So we'll see how it goes there. And I am looking forward to it. Hopefully I can get into the ballpark.